Well, for about the past 3 weeks, I have had a wonderful opportunity to explore the new Woodlands Methodist Hospital. It's an amazing facility. Part of the time, I've had to wait in the new professional building for my husband to pick me up. I mean, it's been cold. We've had ice. I have to sit there and wait for him to come. But as I sit there and I look out into the parking lot, I notice a pattern beginning to form. People will pull up. They will park their car. They will leave it running. They get out really quickly and run around to the passenger side, and they get out that person who's riding with them. They may reach in the back seat and get a walker or a wheelchair and help that person get on the walker or wheelchair and make sure they're stable before they drive away, helping them to get into the building. Sometimes they just pull up and they get an e-ticket. And I don't know whether you know about an e-ticket, but you do everything on your cell phone. You just give them your number, and as you're coming down, you just text them, and they have your car right there. They absolutely just let that wonderful valet park their car, and they walk in, some with a cane, some with a smile, some with a frown, but they're all walking into this beautiful facility. Some people you see have black slings on their shoulders. Others have a tight black boot on their foot. Sometimes you can tell somebody has a deep wound someplace in their body. And it doesn't make any difference at all about age. You see little children to teenagers, all the way up the spectrum. All of these people are coming in to that brand new facility, and they have hopes, and they have dreams, and they have new challenges that may be facing them. So hold that thought for a second. You know, the whole Methodist system amazes me. And many of you probably know that we helped that church or that hospital to get started. It's known all over the world for its superior health care, but there's something I didn't know. It's the official health care provider and sponsor of the Houston Ballet, the Astros, Texans, Dynamos, Dash, Rodeo Houston, Houston Symphony, and the Houston Grand Opera. Many injured athletes will have their surgery right downtown at this facility by the expert surgeons there, and then they're turned back over to the team doctors. Now, if you go up on the second floor of the new Methodist Woodlands Hospital, that is the rehab center, and it is a sight to behold. Giant pictures are everywhere of athletes at their very best. You see a ballerina up in the air with her legs like this and her head back. And you will see even a Texan running for the touchdown. They're at their very best. And that's exactly where I've been doing my physical therapy for the past 3 weeks. Well, on the very first day that I kind of hobbled in there on a walker, I met Heather. Heather looked at me and said, "I am going to be working with you during your recovery, and I want you to know something right now. I am the boss. You are to do exactly what I say, even if it seems impossible, even if it hurts. You and I are going to form a great team. We're going to be together, and we're going to work our way through this. I am to focus on her instructions, and she doesn't really care how painful that might be." So we work together. Heather and I are a team. Each time I go in there, she goes, "Good morning, Miss Ann. How are you doing today?" And I'm very truthful. I begin venting and I tell her everything that happened since the last time I met her. I said, when you make me do this, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts and it feels like there's something in my knee going pop, pop. What is that? It doesn't feel good. And she'll say to me, we're gonna get there. I promise. Hang in there with me. We're a team. If I do something wrong, like last Sunday, I stood way too long. Carolyn Harris knows that. She will fuss at me and she'll say, all right, one step forward, two step backwards, but we're going to make it. You and I are going to make it. I'm going to push you, Anne, and I'm going to push you hard, but you are going to love the end results. Well, after I'm done venting, she goes, let's get down to business. And she puts me on a bicycle and she cranks it up to where I can hardly make it go around. And she smiles. I'm not smiling. And then she makes me do side steps, leg raises. She makes me get on a machine and push with all my might. And then she said, oh, we're going to try something new today. And I'm thinking, oh, no, that's impossible. I can't do that. And she said, oh, yes, you can. You can do it. You can bend that knee harder. And I know it hurts, but we're going to keep on going, Anne, till you reach your goal. See this? I hate this. I hate it. I have to, three times a day, I have to sit down. I have to put this thing over my foot like this. Then I have to crisscross it so it really hurts. And then I get a hold of it. And then with all of my might, I have to pull my knee until it stings. This exercise stresses me totally out. And I always wait till the very end to do this one because I know what's going to happen whenever I do this. But Heather, just keep doing them. You're going to reach your goal. You're going to love it. You know, Heather, in a way, reminds me of Jesus and the scripture I read today. In the Beatitudes, and in particularly what I read about retaliation, Jesus is asking us to do some things that aren't comfortable. He is going to push, push, push us until it hurts. He wants our lives to be transformed. And he's going to keep working with us until we reach that goal. And like Heather, he says, I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be your coach and your guide. You just hang in there with me. And then he says, hey, the end results are going to be really worth it. I know what I read seems really harsh. Jesus is repeating the Old Testament law, and then he's going back and adding more to it. The oldest law in the world was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I know you've heard that. It's called the Lex Talionis, or the law of tit for tat, and it's based on ancient ethics. The ancient laws really did seem harsh, and if you read them and you just read over them, you're going to think, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I don't live back in that time. But you really need to read them carefully, because if you do, you're going to learn they were the very beginning of mercy. They were the beginning of mercy. You see, blood feuds and vengeance has gone on for years and years. And guess what? It really has not stopped. Tribes, if I'm in a tribe and Paula's in a tribe and I hurt Paula, then my or her tribe is going to come over and they're just going to wipe my tribe out. That's what happens. And you can still see the news and hear the news, and they're still doing that in some countries. So ultimately, when the tribes got against each other, it was death. You wonder, I mean, how did these tribes keep on going? They would wipe each other out. But what happened with the law of tit for tat, it limited the vengeance. You could only do what that person had done back to you. So if they knock your tooth out, you could only do that. Nothing else to harm any part of their body. Now that seems weird too. I mean, you know, if somebody knocks your tooth out, are we really going to do that? But here's what William Barclay says, one of the great commentators. He said, ancient ethics were based on the law of tit for tat, and it was a law of mercy. It was true that the law was for a judge, not a private individual. It was true that it was literally never carried out, and there are accents of mercy speaking everywhere. And then he added this. And notice the verb. Jesus obliterated the very principle of the law because retaliation, no matter how controlled or restricted, does not have any part in a Christian life. Have you ever wanted to get even with somebody? If you're saying no, you're in church, remember. I mean, all of us have wanted to get even with somebody. When somebody hurts us, there's a tendency to want to get back at them. This happens in our families. It happens in the workplace. It happens anywhere. Looking back on the news the other day, I saw two neighbors, and they were going at it with garden hose, not H-O-S-E, H-O-E-S. They both had hose, and they were so angry at each other, they were hitting out like that. I think they both got arrested. And then think about the Hatfields and McCoys. I mean, that really is true. And it went down through generations, and hard telling how many people lost their lives. But it can happen anywhere, even on the golf course. So there's a wonderful story of two men that went to the golf course to play together. They were very, very close. And so they decided that they would, wherever the ball fell, they would play it from there. Wherever the ball lies, that's where it would stay. So on the 14th hole, one of them sliced a drive, and it ended up in the cart path. He reached down to pick it up to get, and I believe the golf term is get relief, but his friend said, no, wait a minute, you cannot pick it up. We made a deal. But he said, that's the rule of golf. You can reach down there and pick it up and move it. That's the rule of golf. No, that's not the way we are going to do it. So he threw up his hands in disgust. He went over and got a club. And he pulled it out, and he came back over, and he took a few practice swings right on the sidewalk, and he scraped the club, and sparks were going everywhere, and it was getting really scratched. Finally, he took his shot. They hit the club path again. Sparks went flying, but his ball went straight towards the green and rolled about 2 inches from the cup. Great shot, his friend said. Which club did you use? And he said, your 7-iron. See, retaliation is alive and well, even on the golf course. But in our scripture today, Jesus is pushing us harder. He wants us to let go of retaliation. And he promises to see us through to the very end. It's like he's saying, hey, I've got this one. You can trust me. Keep your focus on me and let it go. Well, an American nurse had been held captive for a long time by the Turks. And one of the Turkish soldiers killed her brother right in front of her. Somehow, she escaped and she came back and she was a military nurse in the hospital. And lo and behold, you can imagine what happened. That very man was captured. They brought him to the military hospital, and there he was, right in front of her. And everything in her mind yelled, "Vengeance! I've got him the way I want him. Vengeance!" But then this stronger voice called out to her, and it called out for her to love. You know what she did? She nursed that man back to health. And once he was healthy again, he looked up at her and he said, "Why did you not let me die?" She said, "I am a follower of the one that said, 'Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you.'" The nurse decided she would not retaliate. And as difficult as it was, I mean, just a little extra of this or a little of that, and he would have been wiped out, she followed Jesus. She let Jesus handle it. Something very similar happened to Corrie ten Boom. Many of you will remember she was the Dutch lady, and her family hid the Jews in their home, and they were captured. And maybe at some point you read The Hiding Place. And I want to stop just a minute and read exactly what she said happened to her. She was at a church in 1947, a German church, and she had been going all around the country talking about forgiveness, forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. And she looked up, and a balding man in a gray overcoat stepped over to greet her, and she froze. She knew exactly who he was. He was one of the guards at the Ravensbrück concentration camp, and he mocked all the women prisoners as they showered, and they had to walk past him naked. And he was in line, and he had his hand out to shake her hand. And she froze. She put her hand in her purse and she fumbled around because she could not bring herself to shake his hand. And here's what he said. "A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know, as you said, that all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea." Her hand went back in her pocketbook again. "How can he ever remember me?" And then he said, "You mentioned the concentration camp in your talk. I was a guard there. But since that time, I have become a Christian, and God has forgiven me for the terrible things I did there. Fräulein, I need to hear it from your lips. I need to hear you say, 'I am forgiven.'" And she stood there, and she stood there, and right then, vengeance could have been hers. She could have, number one, yelled out every word in the language against him. She could have slapped him. She could have turned and walked away. And worse, she may not have forgiven him. But she said, with Jesus pushing us to be something different, "I knew I had to shake his hand." And so with that SS man standing there, she was able to get her hand out of her purse, and she said, "Jesus, you've got to take over." She said she felt something in her shoulder, almost like a flame, and it ran down her shoulder, and it went down her arm, and it went right into her hand, and she joined hands with him. And she said, "My brother, I forgive you. I forgive you with everything." And she realized right then it wasn't her, it wasn't the man, her tormentor, but it was the gift of the Holy Spirit pushing her and helping her, and she was able to forgive. Jesus didn't stop with retaliation, as you heard me say. He went on and said, "Hey, if somebody slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek." That's a push. And then he said, "If they ask for your tunic, give them your cloak." And then he said, "If they ask you to walk 1 mile, I want you to walk 2 miles. Do you know where that came from? The 2 mile? It came from the Roman soldiers, and they actually had mile markers. And a Roman soldier could come up to a Jew and say, "You are going to carry my backpack for a mile." And if the person refused, they were flogged. And so Jesus said, don't only carry it a mile, which would have been 1 mile there, and then you had to walk back where you were. Jesus said, take it 2 miles and then walk 2 miles back where you are. So here's the way it could have happened. Hey, you carry my backpack. And the Christian says, yes, sir. And then he joyfully starts walking along with the soldier, enthusiastically. And the soldier says, okay, you can put it down now. Sir, I would like to carry it another mile for you. Why would you want to do that? Oh, I am a disciple of Christ, and he told us to do this for you. Well, who is this Jesus you follow? Do you see what happened? Something opened up so that the Christian could tell the man about Jesus. And how do we know how many Roman soldiers might have been changed? Well, have you allowed Jesus to push you to go the second mile? It may hurt. It could be very uncomfortable. But Jesus is in there, and he is pushing ever so gently on you. People come in this church all the time, every day, like the professional building, and they are hurt, they're wounded, they're scarred, and they're coming in here, and they are looking for someone to help them. Yes, many come in joyful, and it's our job to be joyful and enthusiastic, but it's our job to have the ministries to be able to reach out to them in love. Jesus challenged his followers then, and he's challenging the modern day disciples now. As you know, we're in our stewardship campaign, and I believe that's just another way Jesus is gently pushing. You can do this. You can start somewhere. You can give to make this one of the most dynamic churches and to have the ministries. You know, when I started giving, and I'm not saying tithing, I had 5 teenagers at home and all were in braces. And I said, no way I can do this. But Jesus pushed me and I felt him saying, just try. I will be with you. Just try. So yeah, it did hurt, but I did it. And every year I added a little more and I added a little more the next year. And finally, one day I reached the tithe. And you know what? It has blessed me over and over and over. And it was at the absolutely the worst time. Jesus is pushing us in so many different ways. He's trying to transform us and help us. One of the great ministries, really quickly, is the Source. And something new has happened because Andy and Jesus have pushed and pushed Caitlin and Brandy and Ken and Anthony, and they have formed a team. Caitlin is no longer leading, but she's one of 4. And they are trying to reach out on both campuses to do brand new things for Jesus. It's been a stretch for them, but you know, they're still going to preach and teach and lead, and you will be the recipient of many of the things that they are doing. Well, that's just one ministry. There's lots of ministries here. We have children and we have youth, and many of you are so actively involved in a lot of the ministries. But it's all about transformation. Jesus wants to change us, and he's going to say, I'm going to push. It's going to be a little difficult, but we're a team. Together, we can do it. Here's what we don't want to happen. So, radical change can scare us because that means we have to change our priorities and some of our lifestyles. We tend to want to be much more comfortable saying, I would like to buy $3 of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. I want just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a person of a different color or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy. I don't want transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, but I don't really need a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would just like $3 worth of God, please. God never said that about us. I think I'll only invest $3 in Ann. What he did, he invested his whole life and even a dab more. He wants you to let him push, and he wants to take you places with your transformed lives that you can't imagine. Heather and Jesus are a lot alike. They want to stretch me beyond what I think I can do. And yes, it does hurt. But oh my goodness, once you let Jesus transform you, oh, the places you can go. Jesus says, trust me, you and I will make a great team. You'll love the end results. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow with me? Dear God, we want to trust you and we ask you, go ahead and push. We're up to it. We want all of you and we want our lives to be transformed. We love you. Help us always to remember that with retaliation and vengeance, all of that you ask us to go the second mile. And we are ready to do that today. And now, would you please join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So right now, if you will.